Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value Surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I will say that there is some feedback that not everybody liked the Taco Bell nuggets.
Okay.
So, not unusual for there to be a difference of opinion.
Think they'll bring these things back, Kang? Kenny, you guys think it's coming back?
I think they do. I think there's too much going on with the chicken war right now with all fast food places. Yeah. They need to stay in the game somehow.
Yeah, they're going to come up with a chicken.
So maybe they revise it. I don't know. Or maybe it was one
torta.
Of those. Yeah.
You know what's something, funny whatever is, you guys know when I've talked about how I run my son's baseball team and we have to book hotels when we go on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two things I always look for because you don't know any. I don't know anything about the greater Cincinnati area or where to stay in Schaumburg or whatever. So I'm always looking, all right, what hotels are close to Chick-fil-A's and B-dubs?
Again, it's for you.
Yeah. Yeah, but the Chick-fil-A thing, the kids are like, oh, Chick-fil-A, greatest hotel ever. And I'm like, all right, beer and sports. We did it once with Twin Peaks in Indianapolis. And that went great approval from the dads. All right.
Cold beer.
Yep. TVs.
Yeah.
Good menu.
Scenic views.
Again, the dads. All right. So, ready or not, it might be this guy's time in Detroit. Dave Burkett of The Freep did a story. The guy is Terrion Arnold. Could he be CB1 next year? The story didn't say that Carlton Davis was gone. The story said, quote, if Davis proves too expensive to bring back, Arnold will enter next season as the Lions' unquestioned number one cornerback. Now, there's a couple things about this. There were opinions on Terrion Arnold, first-round pick cornerback from Alabama by the Detroit Lions. There were opinions that were shaped in September that people did not move off those opinions. In September, he got flagged, I think, 6 times for pass interference or defensive holding. He got 3 flags the rest of the way. One of them came on an offensive holding, which was really a special teams holding. And I think the other one was one of them. I don't think the other two might have been a pass interference or holding. But it really got better as the year went on. But I think in some people's eyes, this would be terrifying. We went back and looked and asked this question, and Kang and I were racking our brains. Not this past season that just ended. Do you remember who the Lions' starting corners were 2 years ago?
So not his past season, but the season before that.
Yes.
Was supposed to be Emmanuel Mosley. And when they had C.J. Gardner-Johnson, right?
Yeah.
But he was a safety. I can't remember who the other one was.
Cam Sutton.
Cam Sutton.
Yep. Jerry Jacobs ended up getting 15 games at corner. And then you get into Khalil Dorsey and Kendall Vildor, who they keep bringing those guys back. And in their roles as CB like 5 and 6, I think the Lions really like those guys. Will Harris played a lot of corner. And, you know, they're all the guys that were really getting a lot of run at corner are all gone. They went out and they traded for Carlton Davis and they drafted Terrion Arnold. And Emmanuel Mosley came back and got hurt again. But is Detroit ready for Terrion Arnold to be CB1? I have a feeling that there are people out there panicking and thinking, oh, God, no. His passer rating against amongst qualified corners was a team worst 94.7 this year. But he allowed just 3.3 yards per catch, this according to Burkett, on the 4 receptions in the Lions' playoff loss to Washington, and didn't allow a completion on 4 targets and 26 coverage snaps in the division-clinching Week 18 win over Minnesota. So more examples of him finishing the season on somewhat of a high note. Does this scream they have to either bring Carlton Davis back or sign someone else? Or if it's just not in the cards, is this an area where they're going to have to say, we're going to roll the dice and think that Arnold's going to get better to save money to do other things?
I think Arnold's really good, and I think he's only going to get better. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's really progressed throughout the season, and he became an excellent corner. Do I want to bring Carlton Davis back? I do, but I don't think I want to sign him to a long-term contract. I think he probably thinks he's going to get a ton of money in the offseason, and he might from another team, but I don't think I want to commit that kind of money to him. So I'd offer him probably a one-year deal. I don't know what the money would be. If it's a, you know, 1 year for $14 million or $10 million, I don't know what the number is, but I'd bring him back for a year. The other thing is you're always adding secondary help in the draft. You're always going to draft a corner. You have to. So they're going to keep doing that. You're going to get Rake Straw healthy, ready to go. And I think there was a lot of high hopes for Ennis Rake Straw going into the season, and unfortunately he got hurt. So is he going to look like another one of these, we talk about the free agents that the Lions have because all the players that got hurt last year, and Rake Straw is another one.
In cap sports, we often talk about areas that you sometimes have to take a bit of a leap and a prayer or show some faith in a player to save money to do other things. So if they make a priority, so I think Christian Mahogany is a prime example of that. Christian Mahogany finished the season on a bit of a high. I don't know that he had a particularly good game against Washington. I haven't seen a lot of reporting on that. The season ended and, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of evaluation of how he played in that game, but it did feel like the Detroit Lions offensive line didn't have their best game on that day. But if Mahogany, who makes $5 million less than Zeitler made this year, that could be a place for some savings. I don't know if this has anything to do with what the actual market is for Carlton Davis, but ESPN listed the top 50 free agents available this coming offseason. And there were 3 corners ahead of Carlton Davis. One of them, a few spots ahead on the big list, but the corner directly in front of him was Byron Murphy from the Vikings. And Jeremy Fowler reported, sources say Murphy will be looking for a rather large raise from a 2-year $17.5 million deal he just played out in Minnesota. So he was making roughly $8.75 million, and he's looking for a raise, and he's considered, at least according to this list, a better corner than Carlton Davis. So if he wants a significant raise, does that tell you that the market for Carlton Davis is well north of $10 million?
I think it probably is, because you're talking about a guy who was CB1 on the number one seed in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
And he played well. Carlton Davis is a really good football player, but he's not the upper echelon There's certainly better corners out there, but I don't want to disparage him. He's very good. Is he, you know, top 15 CB1? He might be.
He had a one-year $14.5 million contract with the Lions, but his cap hit because they spread it out over voidable years. This year was only $4.5 million. So if they want to bring him back, I mean, do you think he takes the same money?
Well, they traded for him, so the contract, whatever was, I'm not sure how all that worked. I mean, I would try to bring him back in the same money. Again, a one-year deal.
Would that be a competitive offer for Carlton Davis?
I mean, if Byron Murphy is going to try to get better than roughly $9 million a year on a multi-year deal, and he probably will, does that mean he's going to go from $9 million a year to $20 million a year? I don't think so. But from $9 million to $15 million, is that realistic for him? Sure. So is $15 million a realistic number for Carlton Davis on a one-year deal?
Well, I wouldn't let him walk over $1 million or $500,000, mm-hmm. I guess. But I'm not sure they can keep signing somebody to voidable years because he will be a cap hit the next 3 years, even though he might not be on the team. So I'm not sure you can do that over and over again where you have multiple contracts that are voided out by the same player. Something tells me you can't. But that's when you get into the minutiae that can be...
That's why I have a capologist.
Yep. Well, who is our station capologist? Who would we trust on that?
Greg.
Greg probably would be. That's actually a great call. Greg for the morning show. 248-539-9797. How will you feel if they don't bring back Carlton Davis and Terrion Arnold is CB1? Phone calls and feedback on that. Gator, I'm not sure that much has aged better than this in the history of Detroit sports. We'll explain today at 1:30 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents, and many law firms don't specialize but focus on many different areas of the law, and that is why. If I am in an accident, remember my family's in an accident, they need a lawyer, I'm calling our guy Steve and his crew over there at Michigan Auto Law. Educated consumers will choose Michigan Auto Law. Do your research and learn more at autolaw.com. Once they take your case, they will communicate with you. They are the best in the business. They call it white glove service. They care more, you win more. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com.
Couple of quick NFL notes. One is, according to the Sports Business Journal, concussions are down 17% year over year in the NFL. That's according to an ESPN report.
Well, that's kind of awesome.
The league recorded its fewest number of concussions since it started tracking the data 10 years ago. That's good. That's good news.
That is good news.
I wonder if we'll see that drop even more, because we kept seeing more and more players wearing the Guardian cap, and then they've got a new helmet that... If you wear this new helmet, then they don't recommend the Guardian cap because it does the same thing.
Right.
So hopefully that changes. The other bit of news in the NFL is something that could affect the Lions. And I'm surprised we didn't talk about this at some point earlier today because it involves the Cowboys too. Todd Archer, who works for ESPN, says, according to multiple sources, the Cowboys interviewed Detroit running backs coach Scotty Montgomery for their offensive coordinator opening. Add him to the list of Clayton Adams and Kevin Coger.
Well, look, I found it very interesting that the Lions got him last year. I thought he would be a strong candidate, and maybe he was, to replace Ben Johnson. In fact, I felt like that's why they got him. But that was an uneducated from afar. I wonder if they're hiring him as the fallback position if they lose Ben Johnson. He obviously didn't get the job. The thing about having the staff that was so well respected is that those guys probably want, you know, we've got coveted guys and guys with goals. And if you didn't get the bump up, does that immediately have you looking elsewhere? And you know, I don't want to lose any more guys.
No, you don't want to.
I don't want to.
Because that would be, if that were to happen, an eighth coach in one season.
Yep.
That they would have lost.
I remember before the Washington game saying they're going to lose, guys, and it's going to be just a disaster if they don't win the Super Bowl, lose to Washington, and lose all their coaches. Meaning they have to make the next summit ascent without Ben Johnson, without Aaron Glenn, and without, we knew there'd be more. And then it happened. Let's hope that Ian Pelissero is right, that David Shaw is a big hire.
I think it is a big hire, but this is an interesting development. Look, he hasn't accepted the job. He just interviewed for it.
Mike writes in, I hope Terrion Arnold is not CB1. I wasn't overly impressed with Arnold. He's okay, but Philly got the best two corners in the draft in Mitchell and DeJean.
Well, the Lions wanted to get, I think they would have been very happy to get Quinion Mitchell.
Yep.
But he went before.
Yep.
They took Terrion Arnold, and
I mean,
I think Arnold's really good. I like Cooper DeJean too.
I think Arnold has a ton of promise, and they kind of did the same thing, except their second corner got hurt, and we didn't really get to see much of Ennis Rakestraw.
This is true.
Now, hopefully, he stays healthy, and we do get to see why they liked him and took him so high. Next text. I really like Arnold, but I have one complaint the entire season. He needs to turn his head. He could have had three at least good chances at interceptions if he turned his head and located the ball. Well, he was quoted in the story that Dave Burkett wrote about this, which kind of has led to our discussion, of basically saying that exact thing. Like, early in the year, he wasn't getting his head around to be able to play the football. But I mean, that, you know, I hear this all the time when it comes to the corners, is how can you not turn your head around? It, believe me, they're not thinking, I'm not going to turn my head around. They just are battling to get in position. And before they do turn their head around, it's too late. More here. People worrying about Terrion Arnold are forgetting how Darius Slay got started. Well, I remember reading an analysis, and it was one of those years where the Lions took a corner high, and there was some sort of data that supported that the corner position, the jump between like your rookie year and your second and third year, is pretty dramatic. Like, the good ones can really struggle right out of the gate, and then it's kind of typical for even the good ones to struggle right away.
I mean, it's a big leap from the NFL, you know, from college to the NFL receivers. You know, the NFL receivers are big, strong, fast. I mean, these guys got catch radiuses of like the size of a three-car garage, right?
Yep.
I am a little, like, I'm not as concerned as I think a lot of fans are about Arnold, but I don't really want to go into the season as him as my CB1, if that makes any sense. Like,
I mean, a second-year player.
Exactly. I think the experience level is a problem for me. Amik Robertson is the other guy who has experience, but he's going to come off a broken arm. I think this is kind of an underrated, like, big hole that Brett Holmes needs to take care of. I think he went into it with plans last few years. Like, he knew, I think he was targeting Cam Sutton. I think last year he knew he was targeting Carlton Davis. I'm sure he has a plan this year as well. I'm curious to see what he plans to do with CB1. If it is, let Arnold play CB1, let Amik Robertson move outside, get a nickel back, or maybe get another outside corner, put Robertson back inside. I'm not sure. I trust him, of course, but I'm curious to see what happens here.
It doesn't feel like they don't have options if Carlton Davis walks. Like if Amik Robertson comes back healthy and picks up where he left off, I mean, should we be comfortable with that?
Well, then the question, are you comfortable with Arnold's progression, right? I mean, then Rakestraw, of course, hopefully he's developing. He can become more of a player next year.
I think he's a big one right there.
A big question mark or just a big?
No, that's one that I would hope that the Lions are banking on. They used a pretty good resource to get Rakestraw. I think they like him. And there was a lot to like watching him play in college. And I'm hopeful that that's a guy that they're going to hit on. But next year will basically be his rookie season.
Yep. And then there's Emmanuel Mosley. you'd have to think if they brought him back, the commitment level to giving this guy another chance would only be if they think, look, this guy is great. We swear to God, he's great. Because it would almost be, it feels like it'd be an eye roll moment, but I don't know that Emmanuel Mosley might find himself in a position where, I mean, what's he going to get? I feel like Emmanuel Moseley might be an open guy. It's on the market until
it's like if this were baseball, it'd be a spring roster invitee.
Yeah, and it would be, and this feels like a player that there's a chance his contract is going to come in October when a team gets hit by injuries and like, well, there's Emmanuel Moseley. Because how can anybody make any sort of significant financial commitment? Not sure if they can, but...
Beyond a year, I don't see it.
I know, and they brought him back for a reason. Like, I always find it really interesting when players that we didn't see or we saw struggle get re-signed. And you go, Like, the whole... I mean, I always cite Kendall Vildor and... who's a kicker? Dorsey, Khalil Dorsey. They've been a part of the Lions secondary for a couple of years now. So, and there are emergency break glass options. 248-539-9797. All right, coming up. Gator, I'm not sure there is anything in Detroit that aged as well as this in Detroit sports. We're talking about, at best, lukewarm response. Now, I think everybody gives it the thumbs up. We'll get to that today at 1:30. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket.
Well, something else to give a thumbs up to are those red, white, and blue trucks that are everywhere. They belong to the awesome folks at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. You got an issue going on with your furnace right now, or if you got some pipes that you think that they're an issue, did it burst? You got water all over the place? If you got problems, these are the people to call because they will fix those problems. You call the expert technicians at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, and they're going to get your 2025 started with some peace of mind. It's exactly what you want. Don't just take my word for it. You can check out their A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, or how about some of the 5-star reviews they have on Google? So whether it's your furnace or your water heater, a boiler or water filtration, schedule an appointment at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
You know, it's a fun question to ask, Gator.
What's that, Doug?
This is a fun question to ask. I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask Kenny, and Alf Kang wants to pipe in, he can. Right now, if you had to call the shot, is Marco Casper going to be a star? It's a fun question to ask.
How do we define star?
So, top line guy, needs to be accounted for every night, point a game.
Point a game.
We can define it however you want.
Well, that's the way I'm looking at it. That's why I kind of look at star. Is he a point a game player? And then there are superstars, which are different. Those are guys who can score 40 goals in a season, 100 points. He's got potential to be a star, I think. I was really surprised at how well he has played on that top line. He's been very consistent. I think he's gaining with confidence with every shift. I like Marco Casper a lot. I like the style that he plays.
Kenny, it's a fun question to ask. Do you think Marco Casper is going to be a star?
It's a very fun question to ask. I'm gonna ask questions that intangible things that stars have. Does he retrieve the puck? Yes, he does. Is he fast? He's pretty fast. Does he get to the net? Yes, he does. He does things that a star player can do. Does he make incredible passes off of the wall? Yes, he does.
Okay, so I want to talk about that pass a little bit because I was like,
Kenny's all in.
I was like, this pass, that pass Casper made on the Larkin goal. It's such a good pass. He's 20. He's just, how did he do that? Kang saw it and Kang said he expected more.
Well, dude, this morning, Gator, you weren't here yet, and he goes to me, did you see the pass Casper made last night? And I go, no, I didn't.
I think I oversold it to him.
So I'm gonna look this up, right? Yeah, I definitely look this up.
He asked me to tweet it out.
Yeah, I'm like, you should tweet this out before I saw it. I saw it, and I go, I mean, listen, it's a good pass. It's a fine pass.
Sure.
I'm not sure it makes top 10 in SportsCenter, which was what I was expecting from the sell job I felt you did for me this morning.
I'm sorry, I oversold it.
And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm off here. I asked Kenny, I'm like, what do you think of the pass? He's on your side, Doug.
Is he?
He thinks this was like, I think this is like Ryan Archie Iacono, whatever
Archie
is that?
Diacono.
Yeah,
exactly. I was going to say the same thing.
Right?
Like, is this what Kang is going to say?
I was so impressed with Archie Diacono's decision at the end not to play hero ball, give it up, and Villanova won the national championship.
To make a
Can we
a simple pass?
Yeah, but it was the right decision when everybody else plays Europa.
Okay, sure.
So, Gator, what did you think of the pass?
I thought it was better than just making the right decision.
Okay.
Am I blown away by that? I wasn't blown away, but I was impressed by it. And he's 20 years old. Been waiting for this kid to show up, and it's unfair because he's only 20 and he's getting a chance, and I like it. But I really did like it. I think you should. How do I feel that you should feel about it? Maybe show a little more respect.
Like, are you guys really impressed because it was like the right decision? Or like, I mean, are you impressed that he got the pass off the boards?
I was impressed how quickly he retrieved the puck and got it up ice off the boards into what I would describe as a small window to a breaking Dylan Larkin right on the tape. He took it in and scored. But, you know.
He's got 12 points in his last 11 games. He looks good.
I do freak out over great passes.
Yeah, you do, which is okay.
Nothing beats, in my opinion, the greatest pass in the history of the sport of basketball. Ernie DiGregorio in the Final Four in 1973. A two-thirds of the court round the back between two defensemen to a breaking teammate for a dunk. Greatest pass ever. And you are all so fed up with me talking about it.
No, I'm just waiting for you to put down the pipe. Not the crack pipe, but the pipe like you're smoking a pipe and... Well, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, that's true.
I have seen it. An amazing pass.
If you YouTube it. Yeah. It is
that's something to get excited about.
I don't know why he thought around the back.
Bypassing a three-point shot to give it up to somebody else who's got a better look.
It wasn't the actual pass. It was the decision.
Yeah.
Flying up the court, 3-2-1, he gives the ball up. But, hey.
To somebody who had a better shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, who knew?
How often do you see that get... absolutely butchered in the NCAA tournament.
It happens all the time. It's unfortunate. People playing hero ball. Yeah. Thought they were on a heater.
All right. I mentioned before the break, is there anything in Detroit sports that has aged as well as this? Did you see our most recent tweet, Gator? It was a retweet of Brad Galley.
I have not.
Okay. I'd like you to look it up, and you tell me if this thing has aged as well as anything in Detroit sports, what it was thought of in the moment and what it's thought of now.
It's funny you say this, because when I saw this morning, I thought the same thing, the exact same thing. I think that this is one of the absolutely, when it came out, it wasn't even lukewarm.
It was hostile.
I think it was hostility towards the look, and then it went away, and then it's been brought back occasionally retroly, and we had the discussion. We're like, okay, you know what? That's a good look. It was ahead of its time. And I think we've all kind of agreed the maroon is better than the teal.
The Piston horsehead uniform was met with hostility.
Yes.
Brad Galley has tweeted it out because the Motor City Crews have unveiled their version of the Piston horsehead uniform in maroon. They will wear them tomorrow. And I don't know that there's anything in Detroit sports that has aged better than that. The delta between what it was thought of when it came out and what it's thought of now. And I was like, oh, maybe Jared Goff.
Yeah, that's probably solid.
And like Goff, lukewarm response to that. Now mostly beloved. I mean, some people don't. I got it. We took those calls yesterday.
Oh, that's
fine. Out of the blue.
And I missed it.
This is a debate that we've done over and over and over again. Pat tweeted back, I always loved the horse head, but hated the teal.
Yeah, I didn't like the teal one.
Yep.
But the maroon one, I remember we even brought this up a few years ago when we saw that it was making a comeback of some kind. I'm like, the maroon one, why don't I remember that? That's a good look. I think it was because everything was teal back in the day.
Yep.
Every team in the late 90s was coming out with teal. In every sport, it was overdone. But this is a good one because the logo of the horse's head has like flames for the mane, and the flames are in orange, and that against the maroon or reddish background looks better. It pops better.
I mean, is there anything else in Detroit sports that is more well thought of over the course of time than this. And I'm not sure there's anything like it. Thanks to Brad Galley, who tweeted it out. We have retweeted it, and you can look for yourself at Dungator 971.
The Doyle Alexander trade? It's the opposite.
Dude.
Every year goes by, people get more and more pissed about it.
Yeah, I think there's some, the people that are getting more and more pissed about it might be cycling out of our listening audience.
Perhaps.
I don't know that we hear as much from them. But
I don't know. You bring a good question, though. What is something that has been more and more appreciated over time?
As we put it in the tweet, in the moment, people decidedly did not love these. Now they seem to get a big thumbs up. And you know what? Part of that has to do with the, like, what's so strange about, and this was not true when we were, like, college age. If you ask my kids, and like two of them, would you prefer a Michigan national champion shirt from 2023 or a 1979 Rose Bowl shirt? They would choose the 1979 Rose Bowl shirt. The retro, way before your time, sports memorabilia, it cracks me up. My daughter came walking through the door the other day with a Michigan shirt that looked like it'd been around for 40 years. It's like kids go to thrift shops to find their sports merch now.
She didn't just steal it from grandpa?
She didn't, although they went through grandpa's stuff and they were like, look, this, oh, I love this. Oh, this is cool. Stuff that he stopped wearing. So, you know, some of it has to do with the way people now look at the old school stuff. But we weren't walking around in, you know, Tiger stuff from the 60s.
No.
When we were in college.
You know what? You know what aged well for me?
What? What?
That was a good pass by Casper. That was a really good pass. I just watched it again.
A few times?
Yeah, and I got the view from the goalie from that point of view.
It's better.
That's a pretty good. That's a Kenny.
You're playing with geometry, right?
That's a damn good pass. And that's a good pass.
It's a real nice pass.
Damn it. What were you guys thinking? Questioning that.
Well, if you can think of anything that has aged better than the piston horsehead look, 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97-1 the ticket. Super Bowl 59. One game, two teams, endless possibilities. And there's no better way to make every play more exciting than with FanDuel Sportsbook. Whether you're predicting the first touchdown or who will take home the MVP trophy or coin toss, FanDuel makes it an easy place to place your bets and feel the thrill of every moment. With live betting all game long, you can jump in on the action, adjust your bets, and ride the wave of excitement from kickoff to the final whistle. Plus, to make the Super Bowl even sweeter, new customers can score $200 when you make your first bet. Here's how it works. $5 bet. If you win, you get $200 in bonus bets. That's quite a return on your investment. So what you should do is go find a prop bet. And they have alternate lines. And you can get like over 25 yards rushing for Saquon Barkley. Your $5 bet will net you like 4 cents. But you get the $200 in bonus bets. That's how you do it. So download the app. Head to FanDuel.com/Doug and bet with FanDuel. Official partner of Super Bowl 59. Must be 21 over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. .33 from MLB Network, reporting today from Will Leach. The market for Bregman appears to have contracted, particularly now that there are reports that the Red Sox, long thought to be a potential suitor, may be backing off. The Tigers and Blue Jays are still in, one supposes, but it's telling that of late you hearing about Jose Altuve be willing to move to left field, which means Bregman coming back to Houston. That would be pretty weird, right? No matter what happens, the entire baseball world is ready for it to get wrapped up. Bregman is the other pair, along with Pete Alonso, who seems to have been stuck in the market. It would be quite a twist for us to wait this long only to have them both stay with the only teams they've ever played for all along. So nothing yet. TikTok. 248-539-9797.
I think it's Detroit or Houston. I think everything I've read about Boston says it's a shorter term deal that Boston's looking for. They don't want to go past 4 years. Yep. And obviously the money's not going to be $156 million over 4 years. So yeah, you just take the money and stay where you're at. And by the way, Houston's improved their team. That's a playoff team that is improved. So why not stay there? Or do you get enticed by $170 million from the Tigers if they went up that high for 6 years?
God, I just bristle, but it would make them better. Let's get to your phone calls. We're talking about this tweet Brad Galley set out because the Motor City Crews, the G League team, there in Detroit, is wearing the old Piston Horsehead uniform, a version of that, tomorrow. And we made the comment and tweeted out and said, look, I don't know if there's anything in Detroit sports that aged better than this. When those Horsehead uniforms came out, they were met with sheer hostility.
They were.
And now people see them and they're like, that's a great look, especially the maroon. But I think even the teal, if somebody's walking around in a teal Allen Houston.
I still don't like the teal.
I don't like them either, but I like them a lot more than I did in the moment.
I would say that's true. But I mean, like this maroon one, I really like. The teal one, I don't.
Let's get back to your calls. We go to Eric on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
So when Forward Down the Field came out, everyone else getting cheerleaders. We get some guys singing the song when we have a losing record every year. And it's nothing worse than being in the stadium, being down 31-3, and us kick a field goal, and this guy singing the song. Now that we're winning, everyone's screaming this song. So I think that aged very well.
Do we know when that came out?
I don't. I just know we were really bad.
Let's see if I can find out.
The song?
Yeah.
That goes back to the Silverdome.
Well, I remember hearing it in the Silverdome.
I'm going to drop off, guys.
All right, thank you. I
remember learning it at the Silverdome.
Yeah.
But it would have been maybe mid-90s.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it wasn't. Was it before then? Or?
I don't remember hearing it in the early 80s when we had tickets.
Deep rooted connection to Wayne State University. It was written by a WSU professor in 1937. So maybe it does. Now, does that mean they sang it at the games? Since 1937, they might have. Andy in Fowlerville, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Andy.
Yeah, Stoney probably remembers the first time they sang it. Glad to hear you're back, Gator, from your four-day bender.
Thank you.
I got to say, the Lions 60s helmet that they brought back with that kind of box lion on the side, I think that thing is so badass.
The crawling lion with the two stripes behind it?
Yeah, the crawling lion. Yeah, just kind of stretched out. I think that is such a good look.
It's funny because
I didn't wear that ever again.
My wife got a Lions winter hat with that logo on the front, and she's like, yeah, it's a cool hat. I just don't like the logo. And I'm like, you don't like the logo?
Oh, that's crime. You got this punishment there.
I was like, well, we're not going to get divorced over it, but honey.
But you withheld sex,
I don't
right?
know.
It got her further from it. Thank you for the phone call, Andy, and thanks for listening.
Don't even look at me.
How about this? This is a great take from one of our listeners regarding the maroon Piston Horsehead jerseys. When those maroon Piston jerseys came out, the kids love them. We just never had a say. Now we are adults and we still love them.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now have a say. So that could be it. They appealed to the younger generation, and when they were out, all the old fuddy-duddies were thumbs down. What was that? We were in our 20s.
Yeah, we were in our 20s. It wasn't that old.
No. Still not that old.
Right.
Yep.
I'm still in my 20s.
Somebody suggests mullets. Here's my question about the mullet. Do females look at a guy with a mullet and go, hot?
I think guys make so many decisions based on whether their friends will laugh or not.
Mm-hmm.
Than actual, like, hey, this looks good on me. Like, check this mustache out, Gator. You'll be cracking up at me, and I'm like, yeah.
Hey, man. Business up front, party in the back. What do you think? That's awesome, dude. Right. All right. High five. High five. What'd you get rid of that thing? Oh, well, Bobby thought it was good.
He laughed.
He laughed. I made him laugh. I don't know why I went all Southern accent.
Right. Seems apropos.
Because I never had a mullet. Yes, I had a spectacular mullet. I can't imagine that the women find the mullet attractive.
Doug, you can grow one.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it would be called.
That's like real business up front.
It's very strict.
Just grow it out in the back.
I mean, if you did.
Oh, please.
I can't even. I'm racking my brain right to think of somebody, actor or athlete, that tried to have that. Would that be like Gallagher? Would that be the look if he did that?
I got to tell you, if I did, it would definitely get me further from.
Yeah, I don't think you're. Yeah,
I'm not
winning.
Not particularly down with that decision. How about the Lions' new black jerseys? Everyone hated them back in the day. I get it, mostly because they sucked. Everyone loves them now. That's from Kevin.
Well, it goes with a helmet. I think we'd love.
Yeah.
You look like Beetlejuice if you grew your hair out.
Maybe.
Is that the look?
Oh, that's a sloppy look, man. So bad. Michael Keaton.
Yeah, that way.
I think when I don't like buzz it in a week, I think it's a terrible look. But hey.
No, they call it the skullet. People are texting in.
Is that
not
right?
The mullet? Yeah, okay. Skullet.
Yeah. Who famously has a skullet, though? Rico Beard is here. Rico, I got a question for you. We were just talking about the Motor City Crews are wearing a Piston throwback uniform.
Okay.
The maroon horse's head.
Okay.
Has anything in Detroit sports aged as well as that in terms of the public opinion of something?
Where all of a sudden people...
Yeah, where they went from hostility to liking something.
Yeah, I would say probably... I think when I walked in, I heard you guys talking about the black jerseys.
Yeah.
For the Lions.
Okay.
Because you no longer remember the bad year where they wore those jerseys and they were cursed.
Right.
Jeez, Gator, I would say for us, it was the all greens for Michigan State. Because they used to be considered John L. Smith jerseys.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they became the big game jerseys.
It's funny because it's so much is depending on if you simply
that?
Win or lose.
You know who loves that old Piston stuff? David. David loves that
the horse's head?
Yeah. He's like, he wants to rock the teal. I'm like, man.
It feels like every time I turn a Piston game on, I have no idea what they're going to be wearing night to night.
I would just blow that up. I mean, they just need to come up with just stick with the red, white, and blue. I don't need to see any of the other stuff because you're not – when you're good, you can get away with all of that stuff.
It's merch, though. It's merch sales.
Are you buying merch for a bad team?
Well, they're not bad anymore.
They're not enough to make me run out. But oh, my God, I got to have that. Well,
that might be true. But
like the Lakers can get away with it. They're the Lakers. They got a fan base. Pistons, no, just stick with your jerseys. Just that's it.
People have suggested what the look would be for you.
If you were to grow out
like a mullet. Type
yeah.
And the name Hulk Hogan keeps coming up.
And they're saying instead of business up front, party in the back, up front would be gone out of business and party in the back.
You're going out of business, sale in the back.
You growing the hair out?
No, I am not. But we're laughing about it.
Wow. You look like a white George Jefferson.
It's a great comparison. But, all right. I'm moving on up.
There you go.
Well done.
What do you got planned coming up next?
Mike wants to add a new layer to his conspiracy theories. He's gone full on deep in this week.
Okay.
But this one actually has a touch of reality.
Had enough conspiracy theories this week.
No.
Did we not do that?
The Taylor Swift, the officials. But this is one where this was actually news yesterday of a former NBA player getting caught up in gambling. And are you starting to feel the credibility of the sports that you love evolve and erode away?
All right. Well, you guys have a great show. I got to say, it's a bit of a sad day. Today is the first day on a Friday that we do not play the rant.
Well, he's had a ton of time in front of the TV this week.
Well, that's just true, but we pack it away until next football season because you don't need to beg to watch the Super Bowl.
No, no.
So
maybe you need to change your rant. I just want to watch the game, not the commercials.
Anyway, so until next August, when week one of college football season rolls around, and it is a great week, and that week one schedule's elite.
Not week zero, but week one.
Week one. Gotcha. We'll bring it back. But in the meantime, have a great weekend, everyone.
You don't even know how to end the show on
no,
Friday.
No, I don't.
He's really confused.
Right. He's just like, Doug, just say goodbye.
This? Same way you did on a Thursday. Let's go.
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Respect, safe. 97.1.